Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we try to be courageous in life, but sometimes we find that we are afraid of things. For example, do you have any fear of heights or of spiders or things like that? Fears like that are fairly common. But what about this? So, do you fear the Lord? I'm talking here about fearing God the Father, the Almighty God. When we think about fearing heights or spiders, that's a pretty common type of thing to fear. When it comes to fearing the Lord, though, in today's world, I think that's a very uncommon thing. But isn't that foolish, though? Think about it for a moment. The Lord is almighty in power. The Lord provides us with all that we need. And the Lord has the ability to either eternally save us or eternally condemn us. And yet, he is not feared, while heights and spiders are feared. Isn't that ridiculous when you think about it? Before we go any further, though, let's realize that when we talk about the idea of fear, it has more than one definition. First of all, fear is to have a reverential awe of God. To have a reverential awe of God, fear is also to be afraid. So when it comes to a spider, we don't have a reverential awe of the spider, but we're a little bit concerned that when we're sleeping at night, he might crawl on our face or under our covers. We wouldn't care for that. That makes us a little bit fearful. But when it comes to God, though, there's a proper fear that we should have. Today we're going to focus on that first definition, and in Malachi chapter 3, we're going to find out that all who belong to the Lord also fear the Lord. All who belong to the Lord fear the Lord. Before we get into the text itself, which picks up in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, let's understand what comes just before that in Malachi chapter 3, just to touch on it briefly. The Lord told the people that they were robbing from him. And the people were kind of taken back by that. Lord, how could we be robbing from you? They were surprised by that. And then he went on to say how the Bible teaches about giving a tithe, giving 10% of the first of what we receive. And then over in another passage, it says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. So that belongs to him. So if someone holds back on that and doesn't give it to him, that's where you get robbing from him. Like, this is my Bible right here. If I came on Sunday and this was gone, and I found out that one of you took it home and made it your own, I would say, well, you robbed from me. You took my Bible that belonged to me, and you took that. So we understand what robbing is. But this is a little bit different, though. See, the Lord is so generous that he gives us the whole thing. And then he says, so, I've given you the whole thing, but part of that belongs to me. So if you keep all of it, then you're robbing from me. If you give me my part back, then you're not robbing from me. So he goes on and calls the people to repent. And the ones who repented, they began to give him what belonged to him. And the ones who did not fear him, they did not repent. So it's a powerful little section. We're going to look at it at another time, but we're going to focus on what happens just after that. But really, in many respects, the two are tied together. We'll come back to it again maybe sometime in the new year. Now we pick up in Malachi chapter 3, and the Lord is speaking to the people in Israel, and these are people who are descendants of those who went back from Babylon, and they rebuilt the altar, they rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt the walls, and so on, because now we're over 100 years beyond that time, about 100 years from the time of rebuilding the temple. So these are the descendants of those people. With that group of people who were there, some of them feared the Lord and some of them didn't. So for us today, let's learn the importance of fearing him. And then if we're fearing him, well, we should rejoice in that greatly. And if we're not fearing him, God wants us to know how much he loves us, how important it is to fear him, and he's simply calling us to repent. Going on to the first part here, again, Malachi chapter 3, picking up in verse 13, we see that the people spoke some hard words against the Lord. So in verse 13, the Bible says, "Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you Israelites say to me, the Lord, how have we spoken against you?" Now I'm about ready to get into verses 14 and 15, and these words end up being the complaints of the skeptics. In other words, the complaints of those who do not fear the Lord. There were faithful people there too, ones who did fear the Lord, but they weren't buying into these arguments. But the ones who did not fear the Lord, they had a different way of proceeding. It wasn't working out the way they thought it would, and they were skeptical about the whole thing. So what did they say? Well, this is what the Lord said to them. "You skeptics have said, it is vain, it is empty to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge?" In other words, of doing what he wants us to do, or of walking as in mourning. In other words, of living in repentance before the Lord of hosts. So they had made an attempt at this, serving the Lord, trying to avoid sin. I think what we have here is we have people who knew something about the things of God and something about the Old Testament scriptures, and they said, we should be trying to serve the Lord. We should be trying to avoid sin. These are the right things to do. I think we know that too. But here's where they went wrong, though, I think. I think they took the attitude and said, we're going to do these things. So we're going to serve him. We're going to try to say no to sin with the expectation that he will notice it and he will give us a reward. So the problem isn't what they were doing, but the problem is the attitude behind what they were doing. So when they did it and no reward came, then they're saying, these things are worthless. They're no good. We served, we said no to sin, we got nothing out of it. It's unprofitable, it was worthless for us. But the problem is, though, their thinking was flawed. Instead, God calls us to see our sins. He calls us to be sorry for our sins. He calls us to receive Jesus Christ, who is the one and only Savior of the world. And having received him, then we have all of God's eternal blessings. We are forgiven. We are God's children. God has put a fear within us of him. And there are all kinds of other blessings in this life. And there are countless blessings forever and ever. And then, with great joy, we go forward to serve him. And with great joy, we go forward to want, at least according to our new nature, to say no to sin and say yes to his will in our lives. So it's not that we serve in order to earn something, but rather we are serving with thanksgiving because of all that God has done for us. Then it goes on in verse 15, "And now we call the arrogant blessed." So in verse 14, we had the situation where they tried to do things hoping for a reward and they didn't get it. And now they've gone even further here and they said, "And now we call the arrogant blessed." So the ones who are arrogant should be on the side of not being blessed, but yet we see them going through life, they're arrogant about it, and yet they have more than we have. That's what they're seeing. And then it says, Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. There's only one example in the Bible where God says we should put him to the test, and that's earlier in this chapter, but everywhere else it is sinful to put him to the test, and yet here people are putting him to the test and they're escaping. They're getting away with it. That's what people are seeing. What is the problem with that way of understanding the world? The problem is that they are seeing they're seeing just a little window of what's going on. They're not seeing the big picture. They're not seeing how, oh yeah, they're prospering right now, but down the road, they're going to be punished forever because they do not fear the Lord and they do not know the Lord. There are evil people in our world today that are, how can I put it, very wealthy people, seem to be living very wonderful lives, but yet, if they do not know Jesus Christ, that's all going to come crashing down, and they're going to be in trouble forever and ever and ever. We need to see the whole thing. What would we rather have, a wonderful life now in a horrible eternity, or a life now where we struggle, but then we are blessed forever and ever? We know which is better. This life is so short, eternity is so long, we need to keep that in perspective. Going on here in the second part, some fear the Lord. So in verse 16 it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. So I think the Lord addressed all the people in this way. The ones who did not fear him, they had a distorted way of living and of understanding things. But the ones who feared the Lord, they talked this over with each other and they had more knowledge. They had understanding that God had given them about the whole thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if possibly in talking things over that someone said, hey, what about Psalm 73? Let's turn there and take a look at that. That's going to help us understand this whole situation better, where the wicked seem to prosper while the righteous seem to struggle. Let's turn there and take a look at that, someone might have said. So I've given you some excerpts here from Psalm 73 in your service folder. Notice what it says. My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Now, if they would have stumbled, if they would have slipped, then they would be in the category of those who do not fear the Lord. So they almost had those things happen, but they didn't happen. And then it says in verse 3, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They are not in trouble as others are. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens. Behold, these are the wicked. Always at ease, they increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. Let me just stop there for a moment. Let's keep in mind the Bible promises that all who know God, they will be persecuted. So we should expect difficulties to be in our lives because we know Jesus Christ. We should expect that. In fact, if there are no difficulties in our lives connected with our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to really wonder, do I really know Jesus Christ, and am I really living for him? Because the Bible doesn't say that there might be such things. The Bible says that there will be such things. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And anyone who is a Christian is certainly going to desire to live godly. So persecution is promised. It goes on here in Psalm 73, verse 16. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. In other words, until God revealed the big picture to me. Then I discerned their end. Truly, You set them, talking to the Lord, truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin, how they are destroyed in a moment. So people seem to prosper greatly who do not know the Lord, but their end is coming. Kind of like the two houses, one built on the rock, one built on the sand. The one built on the rock, when the great storm came, the house did not fall. That rock is our Lord Jesus Christ. The ones built on the sand, they had a house too, and everything seemed fine. But when the storm came, the house came down with a crash. And not only with a crash, but the implication in that section of Matthew 7 is that the fall of the house was unexpected. People sometimes get this idea and say, oh, I'm so blessed now, God must be smiling upon me, so I'm certain those blessings will just carry over right into eternity. People have ideas like that. They shouldn't get ideas like that. Again, it's going to be oftentimes what I said earlier, that the ones who struggle a lot now will tend to know God and be blessed forever, while the ones who are very prosperous now are the ones who are going to tend to trust in self rather than in God and be in trouble forever. There are many passages in the Bible that point us in that direction. So even though the wicked seem to prosper now without repentance, they will be in eternal torment. God wants us to know such things are true. And then the Bible says, going in the second part of verse 16 of Malachi 3, it says, the Lord paid attention and heard them. Those who were fearing the Lord, those who were speaking to each other, he heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed, in other words, respected or honored his name. We know from the Bible and from history that in ancient times, kings would have books, and those books would include a listing of all the different subjects. Maybe we could think of even like in America today with a census being taken of all the different people. So they had books with everything listed out. Well, about 1,000 years before the time of Malachi, Moses said to the Lord in connection with this very sad situation that happened with them making the golden calf and worshiping the golden calf, Moses said to the Lord, please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book that you have written. So Moses was acknowledging there is this book that has been written. And then the Bible identifies those who will enter into the new Jerusalem, and the Bible says only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So here in Malachi, where it talks about this book of remembrance, is that talking about the same book or a similar book? It's a little bit difficult to tell, but it could be that very same book that Moses was referring to. It could be the book of life itself. But it's extremely important to be in that book. And yet, what did it say again? A book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord. So for those who did not fear him, they were not written in the book. For those who did fear him, they were written in the book. So fearing the Lord is a very important thing. And then in verse 17, the Lord said, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasure possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. So the day being referred to here would be the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, when we look at things in the world, in many respects, the wicked seem to be the winners, while the righteous seem to be the losers. But God wants us to hang on, to know the Bible is true, and realize that when Jesus comes, then the truth will be revealed. Regarding the wicked, what did Jesus say? Talking about how things will be in the end, he said about the wicked, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So it might not seem to be that way now, but again, God wants us to get it into our heads and into our hearts that these things are true, and the reality of them will be seen in the end when Jesus comes. Finally, in the last verse, notice what it says here in verse 18. Then, once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So right now we don't have that distinction. We don't have that difference. It all kind of blends together. But the clarification, though, that is coming. But we can't wait for the clarification. God is saying, today is the time to repent. We need to be in the right place now. We can't wait till things are clarified and say, oh, I didn't realize I'm in the wrong section here. I need to move over into the other section. There's no opportunity at that point. So God wants us to see these things clearly now. For those who are repentant, sorry for their sins, trusting in Jesus, they are saved. But then from today's sermon, though, we learn about some of the characteristics of those who are saved, are forgiven. What does the Bible say about them? The Bible says that they are people who fear the Lord. Because remember, only those who feared the Lord were written in that book. The others were not. The Bible told us today that those who know him as Savior, they are the ones who give him what belongs to him. They don't rob from him. And also, those who know the Lord, they serve him, but they serve him with no expectation of reward, but they serve him out of great thanksgiving, knowing that they deserved the worst. They have been freely given the best, and with great joy, now they want to use the abilities that he has given in order to honor him in this life. Dr. Kretzmann wrote this final warning as we come to the end of the Old Testament. He wrote, the time of grace is still at hand. Hey, that's good news. The time of grace is still at hand. That means the door of heaven is still open. God is still welcoming people in through Jesus Christ. God is still calling the entire world to repentance. So the time of grace is still in hand. But then he goes on, but unbelievers and scoffers will do well not to delay repentance. There are things in life where we tend to kind of put them off to the last minute. This is not one of those things that would be wise to put off to the last minute. The problem is, we don't know when that last minute is. As we go through life here on earth, we know when the last Sunday of the church year is. That's today. So we know when that's coming. We can put it on the calendar even for next year already. But the problem is, Jesus didn't say, I'm coming on the last day of the church year. If we knew that, we could kind of back off a little bit during the rest of the year, get serious near the end of the church year. But we don't know when he's coming. So there's always this tension that he could come at any time. So it's vital to always, always be ready. I hope you didn't take from today's sermon that we have to do something to be saved. That's not what I said. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. He did the whole thing. But when we know him, we also have a fear of God. We have this great respect of God. And when God tells us something, then we're not saying, is that really a good idea, God? Or are you sure you want me to do it in that way? When he tells us something, then our heart is like, well, okay, God, if that's what you're saying, then that's what I want to do because I know you're God and I know it's the best thing because you have said it. We don't have to wonder and question. We just respond to that and we want to put his word into practice. But we never put it into practice to get a reward. We don't put it into practice to be saved. When we are saved, all by his grace, all by his power, all by his work, then we have a whole different attitude then about our great God and about his holy word, and we simply want to know it and do it. May God help all of us to have that heart that is hungry to know what this book says and has the faith to step out and put it into practice, knowing that God will be thrilled about that, that God will bless us in countless ways now and in countless ways forever and ever. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, for all who know Jesus, may that show in each one of our lives, and for all others, we ask that you would be merciful to them, that you would love them greatly, and that you would lead them to true repentance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.